The importance of fathers in the home. Let me read you some statistics that I found. This is from 2018. In the United States, there are more than 64 million men who identify themselves as being a father figure. This is 2018. Only 26.5 million are part of a home where they are married to a spouse and have children under the age of 18 living there. U.S. Census Bureau reports that 22% of fathers that are raising 3+ children under the age of 18, them being their biological relative. Only 2% of fathers raising children are living in the home of a relative or unrelated individual. There are 2 million fathers who are on their own in a single parent household. 2 million fathers, single parent home. In 1970, there were only 400,000 fathers in that situation. Big increase. 18% of the single parent households recognized by the U.S. Census Bureau are headed by a single father. Fathers are important. Unfortunately, fathers are not always there. These statistics are fatherless homes show why it is important, even in a single parent. 85% of youth who are currently in prison grew up in a fatherless home. 2 out of every 10 youths that are housed in state-operated correctional facilities, including detention or residential treatment, come from a fatherless home. That's a problem. 39% of students in the United States from the first grade to their senior year of high school do not have a father in the home. Children without fathers are 4 times more likely to be living in poverty than children with a father. Children from fatherless homes are twice as likely to drop out of school before graduation than children who have a father in their lives. 24.7 million children in the United States live in a home where their biological father is not present. That equates to 1 in every 3 children in the United States not having access to a father. Girls who live in a fatherless home have 100% higher risk of suffering from obesity than girls who have a father present. Teen girls from fatherless homes are also 4 times more likely to become mothers before the age of 20. 57% of fatherless homes in the United States involve African American or black household have 31% fatherless rate, while Caucasian white households are 20%. In 2011, 44% children in homes headed by a single parent were living in poverty. Just 12% of children in married couples live in poverty here in the United States. Children who live in a single parent home are more than 2 times more likely to commit suicide than children in a two-parent home. And I could go on and on and on. Why it's important to have a parent in the home. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 1. By the way, I got some from Robbie this morning. I'll read to you. He quoted this, or he sent it to me, and it says, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. That was a quote from Billy Graham, and that's true. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That means to conquer it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. The Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden east in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He gave Adam a job to do. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. He gave him more work to do. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now look at chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. By the way, that word mother here means the bond of the family. Isn't that something? It takes a mother and a father to have a family. Adam called his wife's name Eve. And I'm just going to say it right here. He did not call her Steve. He called her Eve. It takes a mother and a father, not two men and not two women, to be a godly family. If it is a man and two men and two or two women, then it's a family that's not biblical. It's a distorted family, and you cannot raise a godly family that way. It has to be a man and a wife, a mother and a father. God made Adam the provider of the home. When he created Adam, he gave him a job to do. He told him, you're going to till the ground, and you're going to grow a garden, and you're going to feed your, that's how you're going to feed your family. You're going to name all the animals. Listen, he had a lot of work to do. Lots of work to do naming animals. I don't know how long it took him. I bet there were nights that he was late for supper because he's busy naming the animals or he's busy tilling the ground. And by the way, he didn't have a gas-operated tiller either. He had to make his own shovels. He had to make his own picks. He had to make everything himself to be able to have that garden. Eve was the keeper of the home. mother, I said, well, I go. That means the bond of the family. She was to take care of things at the home while Adam was working to pay for things for the home. Everybody had a job to do. He's making the money. She's spending the money. So what's the problem? Isn't that how it works? I got an amen over here from one. Yep. She was spending the money while he's making the money. The home was under attack from every side now. Men and women who don't want the responsibility are passing their kids off, because they don't want to raise the kids so they can have abortion. God's word calls that murder. Men and women who don't want commitments to God or each other, so we have they're living together relationships, and God calls that fornication. If you spank a child, they will arrest you for child abuse, but God calls that correction. I grew up in a home where we had correction. It was rough sometimes. I know the feeling of what a belt feels like. A lot of kids today, they don't know. I've seen many times that belt. Here. There it is right there. There. I got you now. Problem is, I was whipped so much, my pants are starting to fall down because there's nothing back there to hold them up because I was whipped so much. So I got to get this belt back on before I embarrass everybody. Mama wasn't afraid to spank us. Daddy wasn't afraid to spank us. We raised our kids that way. If they got in trouble, they got a spanking. Robbie was the roughest. If you know Robbie, he was a tough character. It got so bad, spanking him didn't work. He had a Nintendo. We found out how to get to him. We're going to take your Nintendo away. Oh, no, don't do that. He didn't like that. Mama emptied out his bedroom one time, took everything out except threw the mattress on the floor. That's my stuff. Oh, no, it's not. We paid for that. You didn't pay for it. He learned when he was about 5 or 6, he got in trouble and he didn't like how things were at home. So mama told him, well, if you don't like how it is, leave. He walked out the front door and left. A little bit later, Robin, she's going to go after him. Said, no, just leave him. I see him. I know right where he's at. He's fine right where he's at. You just leave him right there. And it was several hours later, we had a sliding glass door on the back door, at the back door. It was getting dark. Yeah, what do you want? Can I come home? I'm hungry. You gonna act right and be right and do what you're told? Yes, ma'am. And he did, for a while anyway. Sarah was a different story. All I had to do was look at her, and she's bawling. Sarah was easy to raise. And now she's raising her grandson. That's why I have this shirt here today. Number one, Papa, because my grandson. Listen, I read a lot of statistics a while ago. We don't have to become a statistic. You can make the choice. You can determine not to be a statistic and surrender yourself under the mighty hand of God and stay faithful to Him, and He will give you the ability and the wisdom not to be a statistic. Proverbs 28:20, you've heard me quote it many times. The faithful man shall abound with blessing. You stay faithful to what God has for you. And you stay faithful to Him, what He's put in your life, and He'll bless you. Number two, don't let the world or your friends dictate who you are. You can tell a person how a person is by watching the people they run with. what friends they have. Look at John, 1 John chapter 5. If the world had its way, it would dictate everything about our life. John chapter 5, 1 John 5, look at verse number 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The world is wicked. The world will destroy us if it has a chance. Turn back a few pages. Chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world will destroy you. The world looks at your popularity. God looks at your character. Popularity is what is on the outside. That's what you do for the world to see. Character is what is on the inside. That is what you do when no one is around to watch you. And that is the true you. But remember, God's always watching. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter where we are, He's watching. If you are living to please your friends, then the world is dictating to you how to live. But when God is in control of your life, He can use you to show the world that there's a better way to live. There is a better way. Number three, if you have fallen into a statistic category, but by your own fault or not, you don't have to stay there. There's a way out. Turn back to our reading, Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. The father taught his son. And he taught him how to live right. And he told him, get wisdom and get understanding. You don't have to stay a statistic. How do we get out of that, Brother Gary? Number one, know that you are saved by God's grace, the first thing. If you're not saved, none of this will work for you or matter to you. Remember John 14:6, what it says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You need to know Jesus first. Number two, surrender to God and His plan for your life. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Number three, get into God's word, and God is always speaking through His word. Always. He will always speak through His word. Well, I don't always hear Him. Well, He's speaking. You just got to keep reading. Number four, start praying earnestly and intently. God wants us praying. Listen, if we're not praying, we're letting God know that I don't need you. I can do it all on my own. Praying lets, and God knows whether, He already knows all about it. But when we start calling on God, asking His help in prayer, it's letting Him know that, or He already knows, that we're acknowledging that we need Him. We need His help in whatever situation you're in. God wants to hear you pray. He's always knows, and he wants to hear you acknowledge him. Number five, always remember God has a plan. God always has a reason. God always has a purpose. And God always has the answer. And God is the answer. He's looking for godly fathers. We know what's happening in the world without fathers. We know that. In most churches you go to, there's not very many fathers in those churches. Thank God we have a lot of fathers here, grandfathers. And grandfathers, guess what? You can influence your grandchildren. I grew up with my kids. Often I would go in their room at night. And I would kneel down beside their bed and pray. And beg God to use them and beg God to protect them and build a hedge about them. And now I've done that with my grandson. They didn't know I was in there. We need to pray earnestly for our kids and pray earnestly that God uses us as godly fathers and grandfathers to be an influence on our kids. The next generation, we're losing this next generation. We have to do what we can to salvage what's left. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for these folks for being here. And dear God, I ask you, bless our fathers. Use us, dear God. And if we know any, if there's kids, Lord, out there without fathers, if we know any, help us or show us what to do to help those kids and to be influenced to them. Bless the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.